The Medrash brings this week's parasha, Parashas Vayechi, a fascinating incident that happened. Besides everything else Yaakov Avinu went through on the way to being buried, with all the covered, all the malachim put in the crowns, there's a fascinating Medrash. Medrash brings down that as he came to Maris Machpeda, as he came to bury Yaakov Avinu, Esav meets them. And Esav says, Yaakov, you've had your turn, you've taken your place, you've buried, you've taken Leah, it's my turn to be buried over here. And Yaakov Avinu said, what are you talking about? I've got a chelik of b'chora, I get double. And there's this whole discussion between Bnei Yaakov and Esav. So he said, what are you talking about? I never sold Yaakov anything. So what are you talking about? This Yaakov has a shtar, he has a document. It's documented that you sold a b'chora to Yaakov. So I don't know what you're talking about. He said, well, it's a Mitzrayim. He said, okay, let's go and fetch it. So he sent Naphtali, who was a Yolosh Shlucha. Naphtali was swift-footed. And he went to Mitzrayim, and he was sent to bring back this document. In the meantime, with all that was going on, Chushim ben Don. Don had one son called Chushim. Chushim was deaf. Chushim sees what's going on, and he asks what's happening here, and he says Esav is attempting to take away the burial place of Yaakov Avinu. He was furious. He takes a weapon, he chops off Esav's head, and it rolls into the Aras Machpelah, and they buried him. So the Bala Musa asks, Chushim ben Don was certainly not the most zealous. We don't find that when there's any crisis in the family, he went out and he took arms and went out to fight. Why was it over here that Chushim was the only one who actually took up Yaakov's honor? Yaakov Avinu was lying there in a state of unburied state, and there's negotiations with Esav, and what should we do and how should we do it? And he goes along and he chops the head off. Why wasn't the other brothers as active, proactive in getting Yaakov buried as much as Chushim ben Don? What's the deal behind that? Why only him? Secondly, why did he do something?
Sorry. Svi. Sorry, it's on the recording. So. Let's go.
Yeah. Secondly, what was the Shvatim thinking? What were the Shvatim thinking? Yaakov Avinu is lying there. How could Levi, how could Shimon, how could Yehuda, these are dealing with people who are totally focused in Ratzon Hashem, how could they allow a Yaakov Avinu to be in this state of bizayon, bizayon mess, and not do something about it? So I want to answer this question with another question. The beginning of the parasha, Yaakov Avinu calls in Yosef, and he says to him, and you should do with me a chesed ve'emes. In not mitzasi chen beinecho, simno yocha tachas irechi, v'asisa imodi chesed ve'emes. Do for me a chesed ve'emes, I'll not tikveni b'nisayim, do not bury me in Mitzrayim. So what does it mean, is chesed ve'emes? A chesed, a kindness, ve'emes and truth. What does that mean? Says Rashi, chesed ve'emes, chesed sho'oisim im hamesim, a chesed that one does with dead people, who chesed shall emes? That is a true chesed. She'enoi mitzapeh letashlum gemul. Because a person does not expect to be repaid for that kindness that he did. Rabbi Yaakov Naiman asks, the Gemara says, a person who is involved with burying others will be buried himself. A person who is involved in being oisek, in giving a hesped, in eulogizing others, will be eulogized himself. Obviously, but it's not expecting this dead person to bury the person who buried him. But Kodesh Baruch Hu promises that a person who's involved in chesed with dead people, he himself will gain the benefits of being involved in this. So what's Peshat in Rashi when he says, chesed sho'isin ma'meisin, chesed sho'emes, you don't expect to be repaid. Of course you expect to be repaid. You can expect to be repaid. Kodesh Baruch Hu promises to repay you. This person may not repay you, but he expects to be repaid. So Yaakov Naiman says this, and this is something which is a fascinating point. However involved a person is in their life, in shtus, however involved a person is in olam hazeh, the shame olam hazeh, in this very material world, there's a certain moment in time where there's clarity hits him. It may not last very long, but clarity hits him. By an open grave, a person realizes that everything else is so arbitrary, it's so nothing compared to where is one actually going. And therefore you'll hear hespedim. Yeah, and a person the day before and maybe talking about this person's enormous wealth and the car he drives and the holidays he enjoys, But at the mace itself, when he's standing at the Levaya, and he's standing with a mace, all he talk about is his mace and tov, and what a tzaddik he was, and how many tzedakah he gave, and what a wonderful name he had, and what an honest person he was. You don't talk about everything else he spoke about just before he came to the Levaya. Why? Because there's a certain element of truth. And this element of truth brings a person and knocks them into a reality shock that this is really what life is all about. What Rashi is saying over here is, the chesed that you do with dead people, a person doesn't do it for the purpose of getting reward. A person does it for the proper purposes, and that is because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told him to. A person has that reality check when he's dealing with a dead person. This is what life is all about. It's all about doing mitzvahs. A person doesn't expect to be rewarded. A person doesn't look for outside purposes other than partially doing it for the mitzvah. Of course a person does get rewarded, but that's not why the person does it. In other words, Yaakov Avinu was telling Yosef, Yosef, I'm asking you to do me a favor. Not only bury me, I want you to do it not for the reward. Don't do it for the cover that I'm going to be getting and you're going to be getting by going through the whole process of burying me, which he got. I want you to do it with an absolute l'shem shemayim, that a kind of action a person does to a mace, which is absolutely focused on the reality of what life is all about. That is what I want from you. That is what's going to be my kavura. What happened over here with Chushim ben Don? So the Hanukkah Lebowitz says like this. He says, what happened over here was Esau began to make a claim. He said, you have no right to bury him. And they had to counter that claim. And when they countered the claim, he brought another claim. Until it came to a situation where we were not focused anymore on burying Yaakov Avinu. Right now the focus is to knock out Esau. The focus right now is to prove Esau that he is wrong. And they completely lost the focus of what their job was. Their job, their purpose was right now to bury Yaakov. But because they got so involved in this, they got sidetracked. And right now, they have to win over Esau. So they send Naphtali to go to Mitzrayim and bring it back. That is what was going on over there. They got sidetracked. Chushim ben Don was not involved in these negotiations. He didn't hear what's going on. He's deaf, Nebuch. So what did he see? He saw Yaakov Avinu being buried. He saw Esau standing away. He knocks Esau out the way and he buries him. He wasn't sidetracked. He kept his eye on the ball. He wasn't sidetracked by what was going on. The Hanukkah Lebowitz says that is a koyach. That is the ability to totally take a person who is even a focused person like the Avos, not like the Avos, like the Shvatim, who are so focused in Avodas Hashem that they can lose and be involved in something else entirely, even though Yaakov is lying there in a state of bizoyim. Because right now, we are dealing with Esau, not dealing with Yaakov Avinu. That is a koyach of not looking and keeping the eye on the ball. He said we have plenty of cases like that. We have a case there, for example, B'nai Kohos. B'nai Kohos were the ones who carried the Orin. And what happened? If they did not carry it with the perfect intentions, they were killed. Baruch Hu killed them. The Orin had to be carried with perfect intentions. And the Medrash brings down the Bamidbar that HaKadosh Baruch said to Moshe Rabbeinu, please advise B'nai Kohos how to make a system that they shouldn't die when they carry the Orin. What happened? B'nai Kohos wanted to carry the Orin. And one said, I want to carry it here, that one said, I want to carry it there. And they started jostling and fighting. And at that moment of jostling and fighting, they were died because there was kalus roish. There was lightheadedness when they were carrying the Orin. So the Hanukkah Lebowitz says, that's not kalus roish. They were all meaning the Shem Shemayim. They wanted to carry the Oran, and they saw that it was a very dangerous task. The proof is that their family members died by not doing it the proper way. And they meant the Shem Shemayim, and they wanted to do it. Why are these people doing anything wrong? The answer is, of course they wanted to carry the Oran. And of course they meant the Shem Shemayim. But at that moment, when I am jostling and trying to get in there, I am trying to win over you. For that split second, I am trying to win over you. I'm losing focus of carrying the Oran. That is what makes you Chayiv Miso. Losing the focus for that moment of, I want to get in there before you get in there, that you're not focusing now on, I am carrying the Oran Hashem. And that loss of focus for that short period of time is Kalas Roish, that was Mechayev them in Misa.
Didn't we see also in Parshat Vayigash, it's a very similar situation, when Yosef sent his brothers back to get Yaakov,
Yes.
It says, "Altu gazubadera."
Yes. Yes.
He said, "Don't lose focus."
Don't lose focus. Exactly. 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 And it's possible, which means they are going to tell Yaakov Avinu that Yosef is alive. This is earth-shattering news. This is unbelievable, right? And the whole kaleidoscope is being shaken. And they could be misasked with Vahalocha. They could be busy in Vahalocha and forget the story. They forget to get lost on the way. What do you mean focus? That is the ability of a person to lose track. You see this. You know, there's a mitzvah to be mechabed Torah. So what do people do? They attempt to get to the Aron HaKodesh, the Kisa Sefer Torah, as it's going in, and you see them trampling onto Midah Chachamim. They push past all the old Midah Chachamim to get to the Sefer Torah. They're pushing past them to get to it. What is the point? The point is covered to Midah Chachamim. The point is covered at Torah. You're going to trample onto Midah Chachamim to kiss the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, how did he start the Musa movement? He said this story of it. It was once on Erev Yom Kippur, and he was walking on the way to Kol Nidre, and he asked his friend, who was a Talmud, or a colleague, who said he was an Odom Godoil. He asked him, "What time is it?" And the man didn't hear him. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter turned around and said to him, "You should just know that you've missed a point. Totally missed a point of tshuva. You've totally missed a point of a Torah. And every mitzvah you do is worth nothing." That's what he said to him. He said, "Why?" He said, "A mother can, if a train passes by outside the house, a huge train chugs past, she doesn't wake up. But if a little baby cries in another room, she can hear the tiny little whimpers. Why? Because her ear is attuned to listening out for that." He said, "If you cannot listen out when I'm asking you for a tova, I'm asking you for a favor, I'm asking you to help me, and you can't hear me because you're so involved with what you're doing, that is not Torah. That is not Ratzon Hashem. That is Ratzon yourself. That is looking after yourself to making yourself a tzaddik, but that is not Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem is to listen and to be sensitive to the point of what does the other person need. What are the requirements of the other person? If you can't hear that, you're not doing the Avodas Hashem b'chlal." And because of that, he began Musa. And he said the purpose of Musa is to focus and not to lose the wood for the trees, not to get sidetracked of what is our purpose in life. If you remember the vault we said, Yosef went to Mitzrayim, Lei Moir Matavakesh, know inside what is the Bakosha, don't get sidetracked. That's what kept him going. There's a beautiful story I read from a book called Touched by a Story, Volume 4. There was a simple Jew who was found to be involved in some kind of religious organization in Russia, and he was caught by the KGB, and he was sent to Siberia to be interrogated there, and he was brought into the room, and they had the interrogator with two enforcers, and these people were incredibly violent, and they said to him, "I'm just telling you now, you'll not survive Siberia unless you give us a name and the address of those people who are involved in your group, the Moyalim, the Sheikhtim, the Mlamde Tanakas, and we want everything. We want names and addresses. Otherwise, I promise you, you're not going to survive this." And he said, "I'm not going to say anything." And they beat him, and they beat him, and they beat him. And he woke up after a while, after he fainted, with broken ribs, and they tossed him into his bed. And he wondered to himself, how is he going to survive this? How is he possibly going to survive this hell? Outside his window, he heard a big commotion. And what's going on? So he limps out, and he finds that there's a fellow there who was sent to Siberia who claimed to be a tightrope walker. And he could walk from one side of a very high place to the other without falling. So the guards heard about this, want to make a bit of entertainment. And he said, "You know what? Let's see if it's true. No, we'll call your bluff. Let's see if it's true." So they put a rope between two very high buildings, and they started, you know, they started taking bets whether he can, whether he can't, and a whole crowd gathered to watch his entertainment. And as he started stepping on it, you know, there are people, what do you want from a tightrope walker? Do you want him to get to the other side? You want to see, you know, not him not getting to the other side. And people were cheering, they were waiting to get to the other side. And this guy, step by step, and there's howling, and there's cheering, and there's noise, step by step, by step, by step, he walked to the other side. And just for the fun, he walked all the way back again. And people had loud cheers. "Wow, well done. The guy, you know, he got banged on the back. Fantastic. They put on the shoulders. A big hero." Afterwards, this man went to him and said to him, "Tell me, how do you do this? This is incredible. How do you do this?" He said, "When I walk on the rope, I don't look right, and I don't look left, I don't look up, and I don't look down, I don't listen to anything. I am focused on getting to the other side. That is my focus, and that is how I survive this tightrope. This man said, this is a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this outside his window on that day. In order to survive this world, one has to be able to focus on the goal. And the goal is Avodas Hashem. The goal is to get into Gan Eden Be'ezras Hashem. All the noise and all the distractions, looking right and left and up and down, unless there is a clear focus on what is Ratzon Hashem at this moment, you can lose everything. Halacha can be misplaced. There's a certain god, I forgot who it was. I remember the name, I forgot who it was. His Talmidim came to him to light the menorah for Hanukkah. And there's different menhagim where they light it before Shkia or after Shkia or after Nacht. But he was with his Talmidim and it was way, way after Nacht already. Obviously not before, not past the time that he can't light the menorah, and he was not lighting the menorah. So his Talmidim said, Rebbe, light, no, I'm waiting. Rebbe, please, no, I'm waiting. Eventually, the door opened. His wife walked through the door. Said, "Oh, how shalom aleichem, how was it?" Very wonderful. His wife comes with the shopping bags. I don't know, she's been to Macy's or she's been to I don't know where. And she came with the shopping bags. Said, "Oh, now it's time to light the menorah." Was it Chofetz Chaim? Okay. Here we have it. Said it was Rav Pam. Okay, one of the gedolim. It could have been all of them. Yeah, it could have been all of them. He said, "What's Peshat?" He said, "What's Peshat? What's going on over here? There's a mitzvah to light at the right time." He said, "As Alach and Shulchan Aruch, if you only have enough money for Neiris, if it's Neiris Shabbos or Neiris Chanukah, Neiris Shabbos come first. Why? Because of Shonan Bayis. Shonan Bayis is more important than Neiris Chanukah. If I would have lit my menorah before my wife came home, then it's a steer to Shonan Bayis. Halacha says Shonan Bayis comes before Neiris Chanukah." How many people will come up with this conclusion? How many people are focused enough to understand this is the case? How many people understand relationships enough that they lose focus? Do you know how many times there's a beautiful thing here called Ovis Sabonim? It started off in England. Ovis Sabonim is a time you sit down with your sons and you, in a different place called Dads and Lads, wherever it is, yeah, you sit down and you spend time with your children and you bond with your son and you give him the encouragement and you give him the self-confidence and you go through the parasha. I've witnessed Ovis Sabonim where fathers interrogate their sons, where they yell at them, they don't understand, and they don't know the answers, right? And these kids are put off learning. They're put off learning with their father, certainly, right? And that is Ovis Sabonim. You've lost the focus. The focus is not to interrogate your kids in that time. The focus is to build a bond. He doesn't know. Is he learning with him together? What is the reality? What is Ratzon Hashem? Chushim ben Don was focused. He saw the reality at that time where the other brothers missed it. Because they weren't focused anymore. They were focused on winning over Esav rather than burying Yaakov. And that is, can leave Yaakov bezoim because of that. With this you can understand in an amazing, amazing vote for the Malbim. The Malbim, by the way, every vote he says is fantastic. It is outstanding. But this is one of my favorites. Later on in the parasha, we find that after Yaakov Avinu dies, the Pasuk says, with me. Yeah. In Perek Nun, Pasuk Beis, Vayitzav Yosef es Avodov, and Yosef commanded his Avodim, es Harifim, the doctors, Lachanoit es Oviv, to embalm his father. Vayichantu haroifim es Yisrael. And the roifim embalmed es Yisrael. So the Malbim asks, what on earth was Yosef doing embalming his father? You know, a regular Jewish practice to do that. We don't embalm people. It's not something we do. What's Yosef doing following the minhag of Mitzrayim to embalm? What's all that about? I mean, it's a question everyone asks, right? Secondly, we're talking about Yaakov in this week's parasha. Vayichal Yaakov, Yitzav es Bonov, and Yaakov, and these are the children of Yaakov. Yaakov, and then suddenly he's called Yisrael. Vayichal Tarefim es Yisrael. Why is it changed from what we call generally called Yaakov to Yisrael? And more than that, what's the repetition of this pasuk? Yosef commanded his vadim, yeah, the doctors, to embalm his father. That's it. Why does it say, and the Rafim embalmed Yisrael? Could have just said Vayasu Kain. Or Vayasu Kain. Yeah. Well, you know, not Vayasu Kain. Commanded them. Obviously, they fulfilled the command. He paid them the right money. They'll do it. What's Vayichanto Rip? And he did this as well. Listen to this carefully. Beautiful vaults of the Malbim. He says there is a concept, and again, I'm not going through the ins and outs of this, but there's a concept that of Tumi Meis. Tumi Meis means a person is Tumi Meis, but a Talmud Chochem, a Tzaddik, not Talmud Chochem, a Tzaddik is not Metame Meis. I'm not going to what that means. Halacha Meis, I'm certainly not going to this, right? But there is such a concept that Tzaddikim are not Metame Meis. There's a Gemara about it, not Metame Meis. What's the idea? What is the purpose of a person being buried? Why do we have the minhag to bury? So he explains like this. He says that Kodesh Baruch Hu has created the human being, the physical body, in order to help the person do mitzvahs. To take a person and to be able to facilitate his ability to do mitzvahs, Kodesh Baruch Hu created the human body, and he put the ruchni inside the human body in order that both together they should be able to do things. Now, the average person does mitzvahs during his life, but the human body, the physical body, is able to make what he is, take some of that kedusha and make it physical. In other words, it's not able, when he dies, to totally disassociate itself with the physicality. It's not as if a person's physical body is here, and the body goes up to Shemai, and the neshama goes up to Shemai. That's the ideal situation. But the unideal situation is that the physical body is so strong that it's overcome. It has the ability to overpower the ruchnius, and it grabs on to that ruchnius and holds on to it. And it's holding on to that kedusha. And that kedusha that the human body is holding on to is what is tumi, what is tummy. That because there's ruchnius going on in it, tummy. Only once the human body is in the ground and it unfortunately rots and is no longer, the flesh is no longer there, the human body to a certain extent has lost its power over it, then those nitzitzis, then those sparks go up to Shemayim and reunite with the rest of the Odom HaRuchni. That is why we bury. We bury in order to allow the body to let go of the ruchnius that it's holding on to. That is the normal individual human being. Mitzrayim had a minhag to embalm everybody. You know, there's King Tutu, is his name? King Tutu? King Tut, what's his name?
Yeah.
King Tut, whatever his name is. What's it called?
Tutankhamun.
He's in the British Museum, he's still seen in his splendor and glory. Amazing thing. And they embalmed them. Why did they embalm them? Not because they wanted to keep them for years and years, who cares? It should be in a British Museum. What's the purpose of this?
Lenin.
The purpose of... What's that?
Lenin
was also embalmed? What's the purpose of this?
Walt Disney.
Lenin, this is amazing. What you just said is amazing. Lenin was embalmed as well. Listen to this. Their hashkofa was that there is no ruchnius that goes up. The physical body has such a power that the physical and the spiritual, the physical has totally has overpowered the spiritual during its lifetime, and therefore there is nothing spiritual that's going to go up. The human body is in control of everything. The physical is everything. The spiritual is nothing. And therefore we don't need to be buried in order to let go of the spiritual. There is no spiritual. The human body is everything. And therefore, why not embalm? Why not embalm? Why not embalm first? Why not preserve the human body that actually is what it's all about? Because there's no real kedusha that's going to go up anyway. A behemoth, an animal, is not matama meis. Because it's just physical. So they believe that human being is just physical. And because it's just physical, embalm it. There's no need to separate the ruchnis from the gashmi. Because there is no ruchni. So they embalmed people because they preserved the physical because there's nothing spiritual about it. Yosef said, I want my father to be embalmed. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu is so sholim, he is so perfect, that there is no pull and push between the body and the soul. There's no need for him to be buried. When he dies, his physical body has no association at all with his spiritual body. He was totally disconnected. His spirituality was so disconnected that when he died, it went straight up, and his physical body was left with nothing. It did not have any fight in it that was holding on to some kedusha. No, the physical body for Yaakov Avinu was nothing, and therefore it totally went up. And therefore, why not embalm the body? Why not? The body's not holding back any kedusha. The body is something that has a wonderful element to it, that it actually housed the neshama, and it deserves covered. Shkoyach, big yashikoyach, thank you body for doing this. And for housing Yaakov's neshama all these years, you deserve to be embalmed. Every person may should be embalmed for that covered and for that respect. But we can't because we have this pull and a push. Says a Malbin that's Pshat in the Pasuk. Vayitzav Yosef es avodah es aroif and lachnit es aviv. Why did they do it to Aviv? Not because normally that is what the general practice is, like every other mitzri you embalm. No. Vayichanta aroifim es Yisrael. They embalmed because he was Yisrael. Who's Yisrael? Yisrael is somebody who can fight against the Kodesh, fight against Malachim, and fight against human beings and win, and have no association within what was going on. The Yisrael they embalmed because it doesn't have any form of pull and push. He was able to totally control his physical and spiritual and put exactly where it's going to be. The Yisrael they embalmed, and that's why his name is named Yisrael over here, and that's why Chanto Oseh Yisrael is a purpose of why they embalmed him, because he was Yisrael. That says a Malbim. Yaakov Avinu was so focused. Yaakov Avinu had such clarity in life that when he died, the spiritual went up and the physical stayed down. There was no mingling, there was no pull and push. He had total clarity. With this, you can understand a beautiful, beautiful vault, Reb Chaim Shmulevit says. A little bit better. Reb Chaim Shmulevit says, at the beginning of the parasha, it says, Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael Lomus, in Perik Mem Zayin Pasuk Chof Tes. What does it mean, Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael Lomus? Now, it doesn't say, Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael Lomus means that it's mashma, it doesn't say Vayikruvu Vayikruvu it doesn't say Vikri Yisrael Lomus. Vikri May Yisrael Lomus is mashma that the days of his life were coming close. Says Rashi, every time it's a Vikri, call me Shnema boy, Krevas Lomus. In other words, the death coming close, it means, Loi Higia Limei Avosov. He never reached the years of his father. Yitzchok Chai Kuf Pei. Yitzchok lived to 180, and Yaakov lived to 147. So 33 years less. Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael Lomus means, Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael Lomus means that the days of Yisrael came closer towards him than his father lived. In other words, he was going to die earlier on than his father. My kasha is, again, the pasuk calls him Yisrael over here. The previous pasuk, Vayichai Yaakov, Vayichi Yaakov. Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael, why change to Yisrael over here? Why does the apostle again change the name Yisrael over here, where ultimately everywhere else is called Yaakov? Why Yisrael? Listen to this, Rabbi Yisai. Listen to this vot. Sir Chaim Shmulev, it's one of his most famous vot. He says, there's a Daz Kain of Balatoysus on the previous parasha. And the Daz Kain of Balatoysus says, this is a Rishon. He says, why did Yaakov Avinu die 33 years earlier than his father? He says, because Paroi saw Yaakov Avinu in Perik Mem Zion, Posuk Zion, Vayova Yosef as Yaakov Aviv, and he put him in front of Paroi. Vayome Paroi Yaakov, Paroi said to Yaakov, Kama Yimei Shnei Chayechel, how old are you? Vayome Yaakov, Paroi Yaakov said to Paroi, Yimei Shnei Megorai, Shleishu Ma'ashona is 130 years, Ma'atvaroim, through few and bad, he had a little bit of a grumble. Yeah? And because of this, he died 33 years earlier. Because if you count the words from Vayomer Paro Yaakov, Vayomer Yaakov Paro, they're 33 words. And because of this grumble, he died 33 years earlier. Asks Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Yaakov Avinu lost 33 years of his life because of his grumble. But the possible beforehand, why did he lose that? If you count the 33 words, it's including the words Vayomer Paro El Yaakov Kami Mei Shnei Chayechel. You're including Paro's question. Vayomer Paro El Yaakov Kami Mei Shnei Chayechel. Those 8 words, when Paro asked him, how old are you? We're including in the years that we're taking off Yaakov's life. Ask Chaim Shmulevitz, why are we including those words? You can include the words and take off every year for every word Yaakovina spoke. But can you, but Paroi? Paroi asked him a question, you can blame Yaakov for that. So he says, as Mashman Daskin and Balatosvus, why did Paroi ask him his age? You know, you get little kids, how old are you, how old are you? Those are little kids. A Paroi standing up and saying to Yaakov, how old are you, is not a usual question. It's not a usual question. So why did he ask this question? So Daskin and Balatosvus says, it's Mashma. The Yaakov Vino came in front of Paroi and he looked incredibly old. He looked outstandingly old. And Paroi was like amazed. Wow, how old are you? Wow. And Yaakov Vino said, I am this and this years old. So why does he get punished for that? Says the Chaim Shmulevitz. Because Yaakov Vino looked old and he allowed the tzoros of his life to take effect on his physical body, to the extent that Paroi asked him, wow, how old are you? Even for instigating, for looking old, not for grumbling, that's the next pasuk, but for just looking old and looking like you suffered, that is sufficient to take 8 years off Yaakovina's life. 8 years Yaakovina lost because he looked old. And Nebuch, what did Yaakov go through? He went through Esau for a moment of his, even in this, in the womb of his mother, he was fighting with Esau. And he had Lavan, and he had Yosef lost, and Dinah. He didn't have an easy life. And he, you know, and Yaakovina was a tzaddik, but he lost 8 years for looking old, and Paroi asked him, how old are you? Those are the 30, that says to the Chaim Shmulevitz. That's Peshat in Apostle Rabbi Yosef, Yikruvu Yimei Yisrael Lomus. Yaakov Avinu was expected to be a Yisrael. Yisrael is somebody who has total control over his physicalities and spiritualities. Somebody who is able to allow the Nisyonos to go past him. To be focused on the goal. To be focused on who am I, what is it all about. To allow Yisurin, to allow suffering, to allow Nisyonos to affect the physical body, is allowing your Avodas Hashem to intermingle with the physicality. And therefore, because of that onish, of mingling the physicality with the spirituality, in other words, allowing you and the shenus to take effect on your body, he died early. That's why Yikruvu Yimei Yisrael Lomus. Because he's somebody supposed to be in Yisrael. It was a steer, it was a contradiction to who he was, that he should be able to live another 33 years. Because somebody who is so focused on Avodas Hashem doesn't allow himself to look old. And that's why the Yisrael Lomus. This was Yaakov Avinu. This was Yaakov Avinu's life, where he's able to live his life being focused, be able to die being focused, be able to have no chashash, have any doubts at all that he could be embalmed because spirituality and physicality are totally disconnected. That was the idea of Chushim Ben Don. Chushim Ben Don was focused when the other sons and his cousins were not focused. That's one teretz. Quickly another teretz, I just want to say another teretz, what Chaim Shmulevitz says, and he says like this. He says, he bases it on a kasha. Avram Avinu was told by Kodesh Baruch Hu to go through the whole process of the Akedah. And he's commanded to go through the Akedah, and he takes Yitzchak, and he's about to shecht him. And he survives, and he grows. The Medrash says, Loma Nismacho, why is Parshas Chaye Sorah, the death of Sorah, connected with the previous Parsha Vayera? Famous Medrash, the Sotan came along, Targum says as well, Sotan came along and told Sorah, but you should know that Yitzchak was about to be slaughtered, and she was such a shock she died. Asked Chaim Shmulevitz, Avraham Avinu went through the whole process and he was fine. Sorah just heard about it and she died. Sorah was a greater Nevi'ah than Avraham Avinu was a Novi. Why did she die just by hearing about it, and Avraham Avinu went through the whole process and he was fine? He said, you know the difference was when the Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded Avraham Avinu, he says, Vayomer, the pasuk says, "Kachno es bincho es yichidcho asher hafto es Yitzchok." What kachno es bincho es yichidcho? Your son, your only son that you love, Yitzchok. Does say take Yitzchok. So there was a dusiach as a conversation. Kachno es bincho. Who's the bincho? Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, take your son. Avraham means I have two sons. I have Yitzchak and Ishmael. So he says, Es Yichidcho, the only one. So each one is the only one to their mother. Asher Ahavto, that you love. I love them both. Amazing. Yeah? I love them both. Ah, Es Yitzchak. Says the Chaim Shmulevitz, this is a koyach of being able to get into something slowly. Hakadosh Baruch Hu did not come along one second, Shecht Yitzchak. He would have died as well. But getting something, koyach istagus, getting used to something, gradually, the gradual process is able to help a person get through difficult situations. And he says, you see this, Rahman al-Itslan, with some people suffer terribly. He said, example is a Holocaust. He had people who suffered incredibly, incredibly, Rahman al-Itslan, you gotta look, we're sitting in the Beis Hamikdash Eish Kodesh, right? The Pir Tetzin Rebbe, how he suffered in the ghettos, yeah. Right? And how you had people like the Klosenberger Rebbe, who lost his sons, 11 sons, and he came and he rebuilt. And even regular people, the suffering they went through.
Rav Zishi, who governs here, his parents lost their first three children, came out of the camps and started another family.
Amazing! Amazing! And how do these people do it? The answer is, they weren't taken from their home and dumped right next to the gas chambers in one day. There was a process. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the ability of a person to get used to things, to climatize with the situation, and that gives him survival. You hear people, Rahman al-Islam, with terrible, terrible tsaros. Terrible tsaros. You've got children in the hospital, and how did he do it? The answer is, you heard about it right now, that's a terrible situation. But there's an ambulance, and then there's the hospital, and then there's operation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows a body to climatize the situation, deal with it. And that's how Avraham Avinu was able to climatize in those few extra seconds, but able to climatize and able to live with it when sorrow wasn't. Ask for Chaim Shmulevitz, what happened with Chushim ben Don? How did Chushim ben Don do something and have the clarity when nobody else had that clarity? The answer is, that is a koyach of histaglus. Histaglus means the ability to get used to it. The chutzpah of Esau saying, no, Yaakov can't be buried here. You know what? It's a terrible chutzpah, but you begin to get used to it. You hear one thing, then you hear something else, and you hear back at something. And eventually, it doesn't sound so bad anymore. It doesn't sound so bad. This is something they could get used to. He didn't get used to it. He just saw the facts in front of himself. There's nothing to get used to. The first time somebody tried to explain to him what's going on, nothing to get used to. It was a shock. Esau's trying to stop Yaakov, kill him. That is a power of the ability to get used to something. Sometimes it's very helpful, but sometimes it's terrible. You know, there's certain shuls where they don't talk. Certain shuls, they don't talk during davening. They don't talk during davening. It's just nothing. And you go to a shul, and where people are talking during davening, it's a shock to the system. It's a serious shock to the system. People talking during davening, it's also awesome. God love voinim and asoy. It's too terrible to carry. Terrible, terrible avera. Right? But people get used to it. And it's a little bit talk here, a little bit talk there. Belemaisa is terrible. Lashon Hara. If you're in a society that's a sterile society from Avodah Zarah, from Lashon Hara, and suddenly thrown into the world where people speak Lashon Hara, it's a shock to the system. But you get used to it. And it's not so bad, and you get used to it, and eventually it becomes part of you. Rebbe Elilopian, I'll finish with this. Rebbe Elilopian said there's once a bocha who came to him and said, Rebbe, Ashkiach Yavan Achrayis. There's a boch in my room who's a terrible influence on me. You've got to move me out of the room. So Bede says, I'll see what I can do. He comes back the next week and says, Rebbe, if you don't move him out of the room right now, I'm leaving the yeshiva. So Bede said to him, why? Has he got worse? He said, no. I don't see it. It's bad anymore. I don't see him as bad as he was last week. I'm getting used to it. And that is something terrible. This is this week's parasha. It's all about focus. It's all about being straight. It's all about not losing focus of what it's all about. That was Chushim ben Don. He was focused. He didn't lose track of what is our purpose right now. That was Yaakov Avinu during his lifetime. He was so focused that his ruchnis was his ruchnis, his gashmis was his gashmis. And therefore he could be embalmed. He didn't need kavura. This is Yaakov Avinu, who any stira, any connection to his physicality of the Yisrael is going to take 33 years of his life, because that is not who Yaakov Avinu was. That is not Yisrael. Yisrael is somebody who can disconnect. And then for Yaakov Avinu's own sake, let's give him the Einush over here that he's totally perfect when he leaves. This is the focus of this week's parasha. And also, the idea of making sure that we don't get used to bad things. To being sure that we are focused and we don't allow bad influences to creep into our life. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazak.